Yeah, there's definitely a lot of there are lots of troubles that we simply cannot stop, and we can't even ameliorate or improve conditions regarding. All we can do is just go through it, do our best, and it's going to be messy. It's a messy, unpleasant situation, and that's the end of that. And yeah, I mean that there really are some hard limits to the perfectibility of experience, various types of experience on Earth. I mean, money doesn't solve mental problems, and the solution to mental problems isn't a total solution, and spiritual awakening isn't permanent unless the person basically devotes their life to practice 24/7, more or less. And relationship, intimacy, union, understanding is always going to be less than perfect. Always. And there'll always be significant compromise in any relationship. I mean, in terms of not ideal understanding or union or compatibility. So they're just profound. I mean, basically, every single experience here is going to be less than ideal. I mean, like communication. I mean, we can understand each other in this class, right? But actually, if we talk about very deep issues, even though we can say we have understanding, it's not necessarily a profound, full understanding or agreement. It's adequate, but if we looked into it, it would take hours and hours and hours to figure out how exactly, when we both say yes, we're actually saying yes to different things. Or when you say I agree, or I say I understand. Actually, my understanding or your agreement is not quite the same at all as to what the other person, believes the other knows or agrees with. Well, like right now, we're talking kind of superficial generality or superficial simple points. Do you get it? And you might say, yes, I get it, I understand, because your conception of what it is that needs to be gotten pertains to a simple matter of a basic level of understanding, because that's what I'm implying. We're only talking about, do you know my words? And so you get it. But when we get into deeper issues, we actually don't know what the other person believes we're saying. And we ourselves don't even fully know what we're saying. Like to say higher self. Everybody has higher self. Okay, huh? Fine. What is it? Well, I don't know. How many people can, how many people can actually, like, how can we even, how deeply can we explain what we mean by higher self? We don't even have much understanding to present, let alone the other person being even able to present exactly what they believe we're saying and what they are agreeing to. Agreeing, yes, there's higher self. This kind of thing. I mean, we're just very shallow. Like somebody says, I'm feeling pain. The other person says, oh, yeah, I can see, I'm sorry, I hope you feel better. So the person says, I'm feeling pain. How deeply do they even know what they mean by the pain or what they're experiencing? And the other person saying, yeah, I know what you mean. I feel it. I hope you're better. How deeply do they really know the other person's experience in the moment? Very shallow, very, very incomplete, partial understanding both sides. And that's normal. Well, it's only an answer for you, yes, but the answer is far greater than what you take away from it as your conception of the answer. Like when somebody says, oh, I know what you mean. Actually, I have only the faintest idea of what you mean. I have only a completely shallow understanding of what you mean. So when higher self transmits on something or you feel it's a message communication, in many ways, we define the answer by whether it satisfies, whether it sort of satisfies in a yes or no. There's a certain yes or no fashion, some kind of underlying question, meaning understanding. You know, understanding equals the answer to a question, or answers to questions. What are the questions? Well, there's the question that we formulate, but there's also, I think, a deeper level kind of on-off question. Like, the example is like, I'm walking down the street and I wonder what time it is. That's the question. I actually want to know exactly what time it is. However, I look at my watch and I see it's 3:15. Then I forget the watch and keep walking. Somebody asks me what time it is. Almost always, the person who just looked at their watch will need to look at their watch again. Why? This is a very strange kind of thing. Why? I mean, I've noticed this 100 times, where people, they check their watch, they want to see, then a moment later someone asks them and they check their watch again. Why? They forgot what time it was? No. It's because when they were reading their watch, in some ways they were confirming whether the time is ahead, was or was not associated with what they expected or what they, a particular variable in their mind. Meaning, when they are looking at their watch, they actually want to know, is it before this time or after this time? Is it associated with a certain time or not? Meaning, am I late or am I not late? Is it before a certain time that I have in my mind or after a certain time in my mind? Meaning, even they're questioning, what time is it? Why do they ask that? Why do they need to know? Because they need to know time in association with some other variable or element in their process. And determining the time in that way is in many ways determining whether the time is or is not satisfying a certain condition or is or isn't a problem, or is or isn't after or before a certain expected issue in their mind. Meaning, the nature of the question is deeper than the person thinks. And when they're asking what time it is, when they want to know, it's in relation to some other issue in their mind that they wish to know, wish to confirm or disprove. It's a very binary thing, actually. On-off, on-off. And that's why, meaning, they want to know, am I late, or is the time nearby this other time, which equals I'm late or I'm running late, or is it not? Is there a problem with the time? Is there not a problem? Is there safety in time or adequate time or not? Is it associated with something else or not? Is it time for, you know, is dinner coming soon? Is the train going to be there? Am I late or not late? There's some other question, there's a basis for the question. And the basis for the question is binary, meaning a yes or a no. And mm-hmm. when the person checks their watch, they're actually saying no. If they check their watch and there's no trouble, the real process, I believe, is no, this time doesn't represent danger in relation to some time issue that gave rise to my question. And that's what they're answering. They're not seeing it's 3:15. Actually, they're seeing, no, there's no problem. And that's why a moment later when somebody asks them what time it is, they have to check their watch, because they don't know what time it is, or they don't care really what time it is. They care to answer the binary question that gave rise to the question, or issue that gave rise to the question, meaning, am I late, am I not late, is this time before or after or close to or not close to some other time matter that is of concern. I mean, I'm saying that when we're asking questions in general, in many ways we are seeking a binary answer that is very personal, not a qualitative, unrestricted or multivariate kind of uncountable or completely flexible objective answer. Meaning, when I look at the watch, and I say it's 3:15, I can't. I'm not looking to find a universal truth. I'm trying to, as you say, answer an underlying, very personal question, which is binary. Binary meaning on or off, yes or no, more or less. It's basically a yes and no, you know, question and answer, yes, no question that we're seeking an answer to. So when somebody says, do you understand what I mean? Actually, 99% of the time, the person who says, yes, I understand, understands extremely shallow, partially, and a superficial view of what the other person is going through. They may have a little, but they don't have the sensations in their body in the real time. They don't have the karmic or the psychological personal relationship roots that the person in question has in association with their present moment experience, right? Somebody is crying, and the other person says, oh, it's okay, I know it hurts. They don't know really deeply about what the person's going through. They don't know the psychological historical roots, meaning all the losses in the past that are associated with the crying now. They don't know the sensations in the body of the other person in real time. They don't know the whole map or network of associations that the person has to that moment of crying or their experience in the moment. They have no idea about that. None at all. And so, yet they say, I understand. And the other person will accept them saying, yes, I understand. Why? Because it's a binary answer. The question reveals an underlying binary core or primary question. Every question or every questions and statements in many ways are derivative, I would say, of a binary primary internal issue. And so when the person says, I understand you, I think it's pretty obvious that they have the most shallow understanding. However, they can say they understand, yes, I got it, I know you're going in pain. And the other person will say, yes, thanks for understanding. They both agree. Why? Because for them, it's not a matter of how deeply the other person understands, but whether they answer an underlying primary binary question. Do they have a sufficient sense of familiarity to say, I get it, I think I know what you're going through? If they do, yes, then it's called I understand it. That's it. So people talk about ego. And, I'm very sad to see Ramana Maharshi talking about ego. I watched some videos online, YouTube, from Ramana Maharshi and also Nityananda. And they talk very differently. Very interesting distinction. And Ramana Maharshi is talking, first he's talking about getting rid of the ego or killing the ego or ego is the problem. Then he says there is no ego. Why didn't he just stay there? And so we talked about that before. But when he says ego and somebody says, ego's a problem, they have no idea what Ramana Maharshi means. Now, Ramana Maharshi knows what he means because he's pretty awake. But the other people who can agree don't really know. But they think they know because a certain very simple criterion is satisfied. Some sense of familiarity equals I get it, I understand it, I know. Not any depth of knowing. And so there are all of these unrevealed assumptive positions. Sorry I'm being so strange today, but my mind is sort of looking deeper and deeper into what people take for granted. Like, oh yeah, I know what you mean. No, I really don't know what you mean. I only have the faintest idea of what you mean. But it satisfies some kind of primary original question basis, which is, do I have an adequate sense of this, what the other person is going through, or this matter, to basically say, to qualify as, I get it, I understand. And if I do, I say, yeah, I get it. But actually, I don't really get it. I have just very minor understanding. And all human communication is about that. Nearly all is like that. So how else could it be? How could it be other than all the confusion and conflict in relationships that people have? How else could it be? It couldn't be elsewise, otherwise. Yeah, that's my only point. And it's a very shallow understanding of others' process and a very shallow understanding of our own, as well as any, you know there's others' psychological process. There's our psychological process. There's any idea or any phenomenon or any concept. So the knowing of self and other psychology, the knowing of any idea or view of a system, the knowing of any concept or perspective is just extremely limited, period, and far less than we think we know. That's exactly mm-hmm. what Ra's saying, you know, understanding is not of your density. But the difference between the shallow and the deep thinker or knower is how much they realize the inadequacy or the superficiality of their own current understanding. When a person, the wise man is a wise man because he knows very little. He knows that all his knowledge and understanding is minuscule and tiny, and he keeps seeking. And the fool is the one who thinks that their knowledge and understanding is significant or completed final and authoritative. But the reality is that very few people want much knowledge, actually. Very few people really care about knowing. Period. Yeah, you see, I don't agree that we have nothing in common necessarily with extraterrestrials of a radically different body form, culture, evolutionary lineage, and thinking pattern structure. Not at all. Actually, if they're positively oriented, love and kindness and goodwill is fully held in common. I had very clear out-of-body experience meeting my group or meeting beings that were, you know, they didn't even have a body. But the communication of love and profound understanding and acceptance was palpable and tangible, even though this is out-of-body and disembodied. In fact, they had no body form. Yeah, well, I mean... The primary communication is the communication of spiritual and moral values. When that's been communicated, then one has no doubt whether the other is positive or negative. If one seeks that level of essential communication first of all, then one knows. But you see, the human leadership, they're not only service to self, but they're self-deluded, thinking that they are service to other. They think that they're benevolent and virtuous and care about humanity, but actually they only care about themselves and their own continued self-aggrandizement, actually, generally. So, such a self-deceived group surely is easy pickings for clever deceivers of higher dimension negative orientation. And that's exactly what happened. You see, the U.S. government, the military, all these groups, they're already in contact with Orion. They're working hand in glove for years, for decades. This is the, you know, this whole disclosure thing is just fencing around the fencing around the fencing. They're going to reveal that they have one level of cover story. They're going to reveal more about this first very peripheral, unimportant cover story level. Oh, we really have seen craft, and we really think they're extraterrestrial. Oh, sorry, we were hiding it for four decades, six, seven decades. The reality is that they're working hand in glove on underground, undersea, off-planet. Of course, what do you think the abduction thing came from? It really did come from an agreement. What do you think's going on in the Antarctica? Of course there really are underground bases there. Of course. So, that's how I see it. And I have no proof, but I trust my intuition. And so the disclosure is a big fake. It's just the low-hanging fruit, completely irrelevant and harmless first-level cover story. Yes, it's really true. We must admit, some of these sightings are genuine non-human craft and beings. And yes, we really know something more about them. But we're sorry for hiding, and please trust us and follow what we say. This is a, nothing, a puff piece. if you want to, if you want to understand the other being, you have to be clear and honest about your own moral orientation. Yeah, Ra was saying that their numbers are 10% of ours. So, meaning the Orion 4D negative and 5D negative community in the galaxy is 10% of those of the community of fourth dimension and higher in terms of orientation. 10% of the supra third density, above third density community, 10% is negatively oriented, but they have a predominant influence here because of the history and the consciousness of the humans. Their question, when they look at the time, they are answering their own binary question. Is it before? Is it yes or no? Before or after? Danger, no danger. Concern, no concern. Enough time, not enough time. That's all they're asking. And so they have their the question is not the same, is not an objective, it's a personal. It's a subjective, particular question. And yeah, that's what you're saying. And that's another common theme that people, they speak to what they speak what they wish to speak, not without a certain discipline to speak to the question itself. Their answer is what they want to say. That is independent somewhat or detached a bit from the nature of the question itself. And so yes, they answer their own question, not yours, because they're speaking their process a bit detached from anyone else's, even if the other one's asking them directly. This is a kind of autism, actually. And this is similar to what I'm saying about inadequacy or profound limitation, limitedness, limit of understanding in any communication. They don't even know that their answer was to their own formulation of your question, not particularly your question. They don't know it. Like when I said to somebody, oh, the mind is difficult, and he said, oh yeah, the ego is a lot of trouble. He doesn't even know that that I mean something other than how what he means, or that my statement is distinct from his assumptions. His assumption is that when I said the mind is complicated, I meant the ego. But I didn't. So he's not listening. And if he's listening, he immediately translates it into his own perspective, which we all do somewhat, but in many cases it overrides the possibility or the activity of checking to see that my assumption, in fact, is what you intended to say, that my subjective formulation is in accord with your objective statement. That kind of checking rarely happens. Yeah. Well, it's a big, again, it's the issue of communication. Communication is a big problem. And you can say that Howard Storm saw that the future civilization would put a high priority on enlightened child parenting, child raising, child care. But one of the primary, other than morality, I think, honesty, the importance of morality. One of the primary teachings of 4D positive parenting probably will be the importance of honest and effective communication. In 4D, it's easier, of course, because there's no veil. But people really have created a whole network of distorting, principles of further distortion, principles by which the 3D veil difficulty in knowing, in understanding, basically, understanding not of your density, the basic third density limitations of understanding, and the complexity of how the veil makes understanding and communication difficult. Earth humans have really, and the negatives on top of them, or the human system of non-polarized with negatives on top, have really made a mess and a real tangle or knot out of human communications. So thanks for being here. Interesting discussion. Please take good care of yourselves. See you next time, and good night.